Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
More than 200 people gathered at the General Assembly this week for a people's hearing on legislation to create an independent redistricting process. House and Senate leaders refused to hold committee meetings on the legislation, despite widespread public support for the proposal. Jane Pinsky with the North Carolina Coalition for Lobbying and Government Reform joins us now to talk about the people's hearing and how the recent Supreme Court decision affects the push to change the way districts are drawn. Well, Jane, thanks for being back with us on News and Views. We appreciate your time.
Oh, Chris, it's always a pleasure to be here.
Well, a lot to talk about in the redistricting world. I guess we'll start by, what was your reaction, given all the work that you've done to try to change the way we draw districts for the legislature and Congress, when you heard the latest news from the Supreme Court?
The latest news for the Supreme Court proved that we don't have the process right. Unfortunately, the last two lawsuits that have been decided by the U.S. Supreme Court are among more than 40 that North Carolina has been part of over the last about 30 years. So we think what it indicates is it's time to change the way we do things, that it's no longer okay to tinker at the edges. We need to have a change in the entire system.
There is legislation that has been filed this year to do that. It hasn't had a committee hearing yet.
It has not had a committee hearing, despite the fact that we had a sense from leadership, at least in the House, that we could have a public hearing or a committee meeting where people could talk about it. But we haven't gotten that yet. They seem to be still bogged down in the budget. However, on Monday night, we had almost 200 people from across the state of North Carolina, literally from Murphy to Manio, come to Raleigh to offer their opinions on the need for redistricting reform. We had another 400 or 500 people who gave us written testimony. So we think that the legislature should know the time is now.
Obviously, you can't recount all that was said or written, but what were some of the themes? Why are people so interested in changing this process?
I think people have realized that the legislature has increasingly, over the last couple of decades, not represented their views and interests. So that's part of it. The other is that they go to vote every year, and they see that, in many cases, there's only one person on the ballot. And a number of people have said, I'm not sure why I should bother to go vote. Obviously, my voice doesn't count because I don't have a choice.
I think it's worth, and we've talked about this before, worth reminding people that this current General Assembly, at least the Republican majority, the House has already passed legislation to do this.
The House passed the same legislation that is currently in bills in the House and Senate. In 2011, they did it by an overwhelmingly bipartisan vote. And we think that given the chance to get to the floor in either House, that we could have good discussion and probably get a bill passed. It is the bill that the Republicans championed when they were the party out of power.
Yeah, well, that was my next question. I guess there are some people on the Republican side that say the Democrats never did it when they were in power. Why should we do it? And sort of it continues that same process.
Well, one of the speakers on Monday night said it reminded her of her getting in trouble as a child and saying to her mother, but everybody else was doing it. And she said, my mother said that wasn't a valid excuse then. It's not a valid excuse for this General Assembly. My coalition, the North Carolina Coalition for Lobbying and Government Reform, has been working on this issue since 2005. And we sat in a lot of offices of Democratic leaders before the Republicans took control in 2011. We're now actually right at the middle of that experience, and said to them, you're going to be sorry. You know, North Carolina is changing. This is the right thing to do. So the Democrats bear as much responsibility as the Republicans on this one.
To get a little bit of the technical issues with this, there are some people who seem to support the philosophy behind an independent process, but worry that since our state is covered by the Voting Rights Act, it would make it more difficult. Is it still possible to do this in a sane, rational, independent way as a voting rights state?
It's entirely possible to do it in a sane, rational way. Follow the Voting Rights Act, maintain whole counties, which our state constitution requires, and create districts that are far more compact, that allow for more competition. There was an exercise done by a bunch of former state Supreme Court justices and a couple of judges who did that. They did it in far less time than it has ever taken our General Assembly to do it. And the districts they created were compliant both with the Voting Rights Act and with the idea that you only split counties when you absolutely have to.
And those districts, from what I remember reading about and talking to you guys about, were much more competitive.
they were much more competitive. What the justices worked on was our congressional districts. Right now, our delegation in Washington has 10 Republicans and 3 Democrats. We're a state that's split equally 3 ways between Republicans, Democrats, and unaffiliated voters. And so our district should respect that. When they drew the congressional districts, there were 6 or 7 that were Republican. There were 4 or 5 that were Democratic. And then the other 3 or 4 were truly competitive. And even the ones that went Republican or Democratic were much more competitive. And that's good because it means people have to work for our vote. And I tend to, maybe it's a bit romantic, think our vote is one of the most precious things we have.
The proposal that passed the House, the one that's introduced and the one that was discussed, I guess, that this past week, turns us over to the nonpartisan staff, right? And then the General Assembly can vote up or down. There are some people that believe even that has politics in it somehow, or that no matter what you do, whether it's Iowa or whether it's this proposal or you have a commission, that we can't ever get politics out of the process.
Well, I can't guarantee that we can get 100% of politics out of the process, but the proposal also has really strict criteria, which make it pretty difficult to cheat. The criteria require that districts be compact, that they be contiguous so that you don't have part of a district in Cary and another part of a district in Durham with nothing touching. They require that they follow the Voting Rights Act and whole counties. Most importantly, they say we can't look at where incumbents live, the turnouts of previous elections, voter registration. We take all the political factors out. So once you do that, it really doesn't matter who does it. I mean, we could have the General Assembly do it, and with those criteria, it's pretty hard to do. The other nice thing about the proposal, however, is that it would ask for citizen input. There would be a temporary citizens advisory commission that would go around the state and get input from citizens. So someone might say, well, you drew the line here, but what you're not recognizing is that if you go another mile, that includes all the kids who go to this elementary school. Or if you go another half mile, you're at a creek that really divides this community. So that it would allow us to be more sensitive to what real people across North Carolina think their communities are, which unfortunately has been ignored in the past.
The Supreme Court decision was based on the lawmakers illegally using race as a factor to pack African Americans in a district to create more Republican districts. But right now, partisan gerrymandering that we're talking about is not illegal, but there is a case that Common Cause and others are involved in that the courts could actually step in.
Right. Courts have long said that partisan gerrymandering is okay because we have a partisan system. But they've also said that there is a moment at which it becomes too partisan. They just haven't been able to tell us what it is. There is a case here in North Carolina that's been brought by Common Cause and another case brought by the League of Women Voters that say that the last congressional redistricting done in 2017 is indeed overly partisan and that it abridges our right of free speech and it abridges our right of equal protection. And those cases are based largely on the fact that the legislature stood up and said, we didn't draw these districts on racial grounds, we drew them on partisan grounds. That case goes to court June 26th in Greensboro, and we hope that it will join a case out of Wisconsin and a case out of Maryland at the U.S. Supreme Court, hopefully maybe even next session.
Until then, what do you think will happen? What's next?
Well, I think what's next is that we're going to have to keep up the pressure on the legislature and tell them that they're going to have to deal with this issue. A recent poll says 80% of North Carolinians think it's time for a change, and we think that legislators, particularly legislative leadership, needs to be reminded that they should be listening to their constituents. We also think that members of both parties should be looking at the fact that this is a state that's rapidly changing and that maybe they need an insurance policy that says no matter who gets the right to redistrict in 2021, they should have some protection to keep the other party from doing to them what they've already done. And both parties have already done whatever it is to the other party.
Well, thanks for all your efforts to change this process, and thanks for being with us. We appreciate your time.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Up next, what the healthcare debate in Washington means for seniors in our state. Stay with us.